بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، firstly discussing the sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is extremely important that we don't just listen, but we make an intention to bring it into our lives. And then how valuable what our lives will become, that 24 hours will be in the ibadat if you're following the sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we are just discussing the sunnahs of awakening. Yesterday we learned that when a person gets up in the morning, he should read the dua, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. And just ponder lightly that Allah has given me another life. After Allah Ta'ala showed me, Allah took my life away. When I was sleeping, I didn't know what was happening. And now Allah gave me another life, and one day Allah is going to return to Allah Ta'ala. So actually, what is this life for? To prepare to meet Allah Ta'ala. The next one, that when awakening from sleep, cleanse the mouth with a miswak. That is, when you get up, same time, you can manage, you're not rushing to have to relieve yourself, then use miswak. And then after you relieve yourself and you're making wuzu, the use of the miswak should be repeated when making wuzu. So that's two separate sunnahs. One is to get up and make miswak as soon as you get up. And one is, when you're making wuzu, make miswak again. Using the miswak upon awakening is a separate sunnah. The next, after we have made wuzu, etc., then when wearing one's trousers, that is our clothes, then first put on the right leg. Normally, most of us are doing it, but be conscious why I'm doing it. It's a sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you'll get 100 shaheed sawab also. And if you just do it like that, you won't get sawab. You won't get any the sawab for bringing alive the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we conscious, and then we'll realize that what a great action this is. And similarly, when you put on a kurta or a shirt, first put on the right sleeve and then the left one. The same procedure should be followed when wearing a vest or anything else. When wearing a shoe also, first put on the right shoe. When removing any garment, your shoes or anything, first remove the left side, then the right side. And thus we generally will see when we come into the masjid, we're so in a hurry. We're just kicking out our shoes. We don't know if I kicked out my left shoe or my right shoe first. And when we're going out of the masjid also, we're just walking into our shoes. We're not seeing whether I'm wearing my right shoe or left shoe. And most of the time we're wearing our left shoe unmindfully. So when we're conscious that I must follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we will see the benefit that your life will become in order also. Otherwise, our Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah used to give a beautiful example. He says there's one of three ways you can wear your trouser. One is the sunnat way, which is the right way, the best way. Otherwise, the other way is that you put your trouser on two chains and you put your trouser in the middle and you run like you're coming on a runway and you want to jump into your trouser. He says that's a stupid, idiot way. He'll fall, he'll break his head. And the other way is Shaitan's way, that you wear it from your left side. So which is the best way? Wear it the sunnah way from the right side. And be conscious that this is the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq. All this will come in our lives when we make an effort on our namaz. So with regard to this kitab, we are learning about what namaz is all about. Anwar salah. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. That the believers are already successful, provided they make an effort to perform that type of namaz which has got خاشعون, which has got خشوع. And خشوع is, as we learned, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه said, that خائفون قلبا ساكنون قالبا. That your heart is in fear that I'm standing in front of the King of Kings, Allah Rabbul Izzat. I'm standing in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Today you just got one small court case and you're standing in the docks in front of a magistrate who's not a non-Muslim. He doesn't know about taharat, nothing. But see how you're shivering. You don't even know how to talk properly. Here we're standing in front of the Kings of Kings. But on the other hand, Allah is not like the kings of this world, that they got such awe that you're scared. Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Allah is very merciful. So you're eager to come to the house of Allah, but you're worried, I must be attentive, I must pay attention. And then what is the sign of that? Now your body will be attentive. Now you just started namaz, now it's itching me here, it's itching me there. I'm putting my beard right, I'm putting my buttons right. Then as we will learn the condition of such a namaz and such a person, what is that condition? So what is this khushu all about? Yesterday we stopped here where a person, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, kisi ne pucha ke khushu kya cheez hai. Somebody asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, what is this khushu all about? This concentration, devotion, attention in namaz, what is this? Hazrat Ali radiallahu replied very simply, farmaya khushu dil mein hota hai. That khushu is a condition of the heart. It's not outward that a person thinks I must be concentrating, devoting, and I must be humble. So now when you start your namaz like a big Sufi, you're bending your head, etc., and outwardly you're showing you're very humble, that is not khushu. When we stand in namaz, our head has to be straight up. Our eyes has to be by our sajda place. So stand normal. Don't stand like a very humble Sufi, etc., and you think that I got khushu. So this is extremely important. That understand what is khushu. On one occasion, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he saw a youngster standing in namaz with his head bent down like a very humble person, even closing his eyes. Hazrat Umar was to walk around with a small stick, which was called a whip. So from the back, he poked this person in the back, and then he went front and he said that that khushu is not when you humble yourself. It is a taqwa hauna. Taqwa is in your heart. That you must be fearing Allah in your heart. Automatically you'll do the right action. Otherwise we pretend that we are very pious and we're acting like I've got a lot of khushu, concentration and devotion, but we haven't understood what is this concentration and devotion. So we have to understand and realize, as we will learn here in front, Hazrat Qatada radiallahu ta'ala nu kehte hai, ke dil ka khushu Allah ta'ala ka khauf hai. Aur nigaah ko niche rakhna. That the khushu of the heart, what does it mean? That you have the fear of Allah. Like I said, fear of Allah, not like a tyrant ruler, or you're scared there's a lion in front of me, so you're shivering. Khushu of Allah is, as Hazrat explained, that in the love of Allah. Allah is so kind, and how can I be unattentive in front of Allah? And I broke so much commands of Allah Ta'ala, yet Allah is giving me all my needs. So in that way, like we explained also, we go to Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're eager to go. But when we know the position of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're scared to go right in front. You'll stand at the back and you'll be worried that is my ziyarat, is my visiting Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted or not. So the sphere will be in the heart. Then you'll be trying your best to perform your namaz properly. And one sign of that, nigaah ko niche rakhna. Keep your eyes down. Don't let your eyes float around. And now if somebody is going past, you lifting your eyes, you seeing who's that. That person, in one narration it is mentioned, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, keep your eyes down. Shaitan makes you look around so he can take away your namaz from you. He put, so you're not in namaz. You don't have concentration. And what is this? This is developed when we realize we're standing in the court of Allah. For example, we might think it's difficult, but it's not difficult. It's such a condition. Our Hazrat explained a beautiful example. He says one time, a king sent his son, a prince, sent him to Bikat for his Islah, to a very big buzurg, pious person, great personality, but he was very wealthy also. Allah gave him a lot of money, and he had a big, like a palace, very big house, and we got a different notion. That if you're wealthy, you can't be a buzurg. That if you got the buzurg, they don't have money, etc. So this prince also had this idea that my father sent me here. When he came near that buzurg's place, he saw what a big house, etc. The buzurg got informed that this prince is coming and he's got this notion. So immediately the buzurg commanded his khadim, his assistant, that close all the doors right round. So when the prince came, now he's looking which door to enter. All the doors are locked. So already half his Islah was made. He expected that I'm a prince. I'm the son of the king. This Buzurg is going to give me red carpet treatment. He's going to tell me, come inside, etc. So now I'll be here. But when he came there already, he saw, oh, here, I don't even know where to enter. Nobody's looking at me or anything. Then anyway, the Buzurg told somebody, open the door for him. He came inside. So then to train him, the Buzurg gave him one task. And he said, take this glass of water and walk around the whole town and see that you don't drop one drop of water from this glass. And he sent a person with him with a sword. And he told that person that the moment he dropped one drop of water from this glass, then chop his head off. And then he told the king of that time also, that put the street lights on and decorate them, put all fancy street lights, all that. And so because I'm sending this boy into the city to do the stuff. So now this boy had to go, and this was Islam in those days. Today our Islam, we're living in a plastic zamana. The sheikh just look at us and then we don't want to come back to the majlis. The Islam of those days, we can't understand what Islam and how the sheikhs used to put that murid to real training, that how they should now concentrate on Allah Rabbul Izzat. So when this boy now went, he had to hold that glass, can we imagine? How he on the one hand is scared that man is going to chop his head off. On the other hand, he mustn't drop one drop of water. And now he's walking through the whole city. And he's going very, very careful. And he passed the whole city and he came back. When he came back, the glass was still full. Not one drop fell down. And he gave it to the Buzurg. The Buzurg asked him that how was the street lights? How was all the fence? He said, what lights? He says, I didn't even see the lights. So that is what is Islam. That outwardly, when we got the reality, when Allah comes in the heart, then the outward attraction don't attract us. Like many a times now we'll think this Buzurg is so rich, but it doesn't matter to him. Allah gave him, he uses it. If it's gone, he's not worried. Otherwise, and this is for people who have reached Allah Ta'ala, not for beginners like myself. Many times beginners also, we see, hey, we got objections. Hey, this Buzurg is going in the latest Mercedes-Benz. He's sleeping in this house. So we think, what kind of Buzurg this is? They're supposed to be simple. But to them, that means nothing. Their eyes is on Allah Ta'ala. Not like us. We want comfort. One thing goes wrong in our comfort, now we're getting headache. And now we're getting depression. So this is it, that a person, now when he realizes that the sphere of Allah is in the heart, and his eyes are where it's supposed to be. Like out of in namaz, you control your eyes on the right place, as it will come in front also. Then you'll see out of namaz. You won't be worried of it. Now you're coming out of the masjid, you're seeing somebody's car. Hey, this man got now an X5. This man got that. So what namaz will it? Now it's the dunya is still in ours. So that is that khushu that has to come. And another example of that, does not give so beautifully, that there was a Buzurg who used to get kush. Allah opens to certain pious people in their heart what other people don't know. So he went to Haram Sharif and he saw a young boy there standing at Multazam, the best place to make dua. And he's standing there, his hands are lifted, he's crying and he's making loud dua. The Buzurg focused his eyes on his heart. That Allah opened, gave him kush, he could see. He opened his eyes on the person, this youngster's heart. He saw he's crying, but he's unmindful. He's making dua, but he's not thinking of Allah Ta'ala. Outwardly, it looks like he's making big dua. So he was unmindful of Allah Ta'ala. So what is the benefit of that dua? Allah Ta'ala says, the person who makes dua and is unmindful of me, like children many times, they're asking you for something, but they're looking somewhere else. Today even children will complain, what kind of Buzurg Maulisab is this? I greet him, he's talking to somebody else. So we're not paying attention and then we say why our duas are not accepted. So and then, so this Buzurg saw the condition of this youngster. Then he was going out of the Haram Sharif and going out of the streets of Makkah Sharif in the early days in the gullies, all small shops. But those people used to be very busy. One shopkeeper, but he's attending to 5, 6, 7 customers at the same time. Showing somebody the item, giving somebody a good, taking money from others, taking. And one time he saw a person so busy that he's attending to 5, 6 customers. Outwardly, it looks like he's in dunya. So Buzurg focused on his hair, on his heart. And he sees that this person is so busy, but not for one moment his heart is unmindful of Allah.
Like we learned of Sahaba Rajal, La Tulihim Tijara, Wala Bayunan Zikrillah. They making big, big business also, but not for the moment unmindful of Allah Ta'ala. Where, so if we don't develop this khushu, then even in the masjid, where there's no attraction, we're not in business, nothing, we won't be in a. And when you develop this concentration, and that is why we will learn, when we do this course correctly of zikr and shagal, the spiritual exercises, etc., our zikr, etc., properly, then as this condition comes, you'll see for yourself, your attention to dunya goes less and less and less. And then what you'll think is difficult, but you'll reach a stage that does bakar dil bayar. Your hands will be busy, but your heart will be connected to your beloved, Allah Rabbul Izzat. And then you'll be conscious, I mustn't say something wrong, I mustn't do anything wrong, etc. So that is extremely important. So otherwise, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ne ek martaba, ek shakhs ko dekha, ke namaz mein dari par haath pher raha hai. Irshad farmaya, ke agar uske dil mein khushu hota hai, to badan ke sare aza mein sukoon hota hai. One time Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a person in namaz, but he's holding his beard, like normally we in namaz, but we're making our beard right, etc. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this person, if he had khushu, if he had devotion, concentration, his whole body will be motionless. He won't be even touching his beard, etc. So this is important, and to a person to realize, sometimes we'll think that this is a condition of istighraq. Istighraq means now you engross. Like we hear of Sahaba, of pious people, that that Sahabi, but the, most probably Hazrat Ali radiallahu, one time a spear was, the enemy put a spear in his feet, and it was quite deep. To pull it out was very difficult and very painful. So he told them, just wait, let me start my namaz. When he started his namaz, then he told them, when I'm busy in namaz, then any time you must pull it out. They pulled it out, he carried on his namaz, he finished, he asked them, you all took it out, a long time. So that was istighraq, that they were totally engrossed with Allah Ta'ala. But that is not the real object. And Allahu Akbar. To understand this also, very important, that you don't just ask your matters, and don't just learn from anybody and everybody. Otherwise, instead of removing your doubts, you'll get more doubts. So like, for example, Hazrat Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hakimul Ummat, a great sheikh of his time, he says one time, I also had a certain doubt, and Hazrat taught us that he says, I used to have two files in my life. One is what I understand, and Allah puts the correct understanding in my heart, that is in my one file. And there are certain times, certain questions come in my heart, and I don't understand it properly. I don't have objections to that. But I put it one side in another file, and I make dua, oh Allah Ta'ala, open the answer to me. And when the answer comes, then I put it in this file again. So Hazrat explains, one time the doubt came in my mind and the thought came in my mind that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had the most devotion, who could have more devotion than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Not for the slightest moment was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's devotion less. So, but on one, it comes in the hadith, on one, two occasions, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forgot the number of rakat. A certain time you were there, what, four rakat? He stood up for the fifth rakat. So one sahabi asked Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did Allah Ta'ala change the number of rakat? Said, no. So said, then Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized he made a mistake. So as the Tanwi rahmatullah, he says, I had this doubt. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's devotion so high, then how could he forget the number of rakat? So and from this, Hazrat explained that Mawlana Tanwi rahmatullah teaches us, he didn't just ask anybody. He put it one side, made dua to Allah. So Hazrat also explains that we got some questions, and don't just ask any person. And also in a majlis like this, don't just ask any person. Sometimes you see even the speaker maybe, who's conducting a majlis, he might be looking very pious, and he might be an old murid, but he's not a alim or anything, and you think, let me ask him a question. You ask a question in front of everybody, he can't answer you properly. Now not only you got doubt, everybody got doubt. So it's not to ask a question all the time, on every occasion, is not correct. See that you think that this person know, he'll able to answer my question. And if you think I don't know whether he really, then ask him in privacy. So only you will have doubt. Otherwise, and that's why our buzurgs also, they don't encourage that after a bayan, question and answer. Because people, one is, people ask unnecessary questions. just questions, and that is also the work of a mufti, that he must judge that why is this person asking this fatwa. He's got ulterior motives also. And that also you learn in the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Hazrat is explaining what is the answer Allah put in his heart. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's devotion was so high that he was in the ma'rifat of Allah. He was in the Allah ta'ala, he was engrossed in thinking of the greatness of Allah ta'ala. So much engrossed in ma'rifat of Allah. Every moment the ma'rifat of Allah is increasing in the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So engrossed, he didn't remember the number of rakat on that occasion. So that was the condition of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's namaz. And it wasn't that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unmindful of his namaz. So like that, many buzurgs also, out of namaz, they are in the ma'rifat of Allah. They're looking at the qudrat of Allah ta'ala. They're not like us, we just walking around, we look at the trees, oh it's a tree. We don't look at the qudrat of Allah. Just look how Allah made one leaf. Allah ta'ala says it won't move, it won't drop, it won't even shiver without the permission of Allah. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَكَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُونَ That only Allah knows and Allah will give it permission. So those buzurgs who got the ma'rifat of Allah out of namaz, then in namaz they are more devoted. Although the perfect condition is that a person should have such khushu in namaz that you in namaz you're thinking of Allah ta'ala but you don't forget the number of rakats also. So anyway we should understand that one is to have devotion and one is to be engrossed, that's a different thing. That is not Allah made it incumbent upon any person and every person. That is a gift from Allah, who Allah Ta'ala gives. Allah gives. What we have to learn is what is devotion, what is attention, and what is humility in namaz. And then also another thing we should understand, that humility doesn't mean many times people have got a misunderstanding of buzurgs. Humility, sometimes you see a sheikh in his majlis or in front of his murid, he tells somebody something, we think he's saying it in a harsh way. Or we think he's reprimanding this person. So like many our Hazrat explains, even with Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi, he was a very firm person. So many people misunderstand, had a wrong notion, and they think that Hazrat had pride. See how he's talking. But in reality, that is not pride. What it is, that any person who's given certain authority, he has to use his authority according to his level. For example, the ustad in the class, like we say, I got humility. Now the student is being mischievous in the class. No, I am humble. I can't tell him. I was worse than him, so how I can? So where there'll be any? There won't be order in the class. So you have the person of authority. He has to show his authority. And although, like Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi says, that I used to be strict on my murid, but when I go home at night, I'm crying and making tawbah to Allah. That Allah, if I reprimanded somebody more than I supposed to, please forgive me. And otherwise, there won't be a trust. So we have to learn what is humbleness. That don't think, oh, this person, he acts very proud. He's given a certain, like a principal in the madrasa. He has to see everything is in order. Sometimes even an ustad who's got a high position, but if there's something not in order, the principal has to call him up and tell him. So we can't have objections and say, what? That's a sign of pride. We don't understand what's pride. Pride is something else, khushu is something else. To put something in place is extremely important. Otherwise, as I explained, one person went to one sheikh for his islah. When he came there, he saw the sheikh is so humble, sheikh is putting his shoes right. So next day he didn't come back. He said, if I go there, I'll get spoiled. I'll think I'm a big sheikh. No, our Dada sheikh used to say, in front of your murid, you must stay with authority. In other words, you are there to make the islah. But in your heart, you realize I'm the worst. I'm worse than all of them. So that is extremely important to understand. So we don't make objections on any mashayikh, on any people of certain position. So we have to understand all these realities. Then we'll understand what the tasawwuf is all about. Otherwise, even with regard to our Dada Shaykh, Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahab, also he had rob, he had that awe. And many people didn't understand. And he said, Hazrat got pride, aliyazubillah. But Hazrat, when you used to see making dua, the way he used to cry, we can't cry like that. And so we have to understand this reality. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that if you got concentration, devotion, and you're humble, you won't be fiddling with your beard, you won't be fiddling with your clothes, etc. in namaz. Because now you'll be realizing, I'm in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تو خشوع کے متعلق اگر آگے اس رسالے میں پوری وضاحت انشاءاللہ آ رہی ہے. That's why Hazrat explains the Sufi Iqbal says that with regard to khushu, what is concentration, devotion, humility in namaz, in this kitab, it is coming in detail what is actually khushu. Otherwise we will put out an outward show that I'm very concerned and devoted in my namaz, but we're still void of that. We're far from reality. We are thinking out of namaz, in namaz, out of namaz we don't have thought of Allah Ta'ala. We just worried of everything else and we're so engrossed in the work we're doing. When we come in namaz, then we're still thinking of that. So now in namaz our thoughts are not there at all. So you're standing very humbly, but you got no thoughts about Allah Ta'ala. So that namaz is not a namaz. Like Hazrat explained, that many people in the early days, they used to stay on the farms and they used to do their business. Then one day a week on the Jummah, they used to come to the city. That they can read Jummah also and they can go buy their goods, etc. from the different wholesalers. So when they come, they got their lift. Now that person, even in the bayan, he's concentrating 2 minutes and then he's thinking, hey, I must buy the paraffin there. I must still go do this deposit. I must still do that. So what he has had to learn here in the bayan, he doesn't hear. For example, Alim said in the bayan, the Alim said, viyaj. Viyaj is the Gujarati word for interest. Viyaj haram hai. And this poor old man, what he heard? Piyaj. Piyaj is the Gujarati word for onion. So he heard piyaj haram hai. And Hazrat says, normally the wife wants onions when it's very expensive. And Abad, he went home, then the wife told him, hey, they got the phone call, lot of visitors are coming. Go and buy 2-3 bags. He said, you mad, so expensive. And you heard Mauli Sahab's bayan. Say, what bayan? Say, Mauli Sahab said, piyaj haram. Say, which Mauli Sahab is that now? She found out, Mauli Sahab said, I didn't say piyaj, I said viyaj. That he doesn't want to listen. Because he's got his HD, all that. So we have to listen attentively. So similarly in namaz, I am in namaz, but I'm thinking of the scores, I'm thinking of everything. So when we do the scores, then a person will realize that out of namaz you'll be thinking of Allah. Then in namaz when you start, you throw the whole boat world behind us. But this is a cause that will take a whole lifetime. So we just have to carry on. And as we carry on, then inshallah we'll see Allah Ta'ala out of His kindness will give us more concentration, devotion. But as we will learn, a person will realize, till life I can't make a perfect namaz. Till the end of my life. Khushu ke mutalik. Aage, so Hazrat says that we'll explain more detail what is khushu. Aur yeh baat bhi ke haqeeqi khushu, yani dil ka khushu, kuch zikr wa shagal karne ke baad hi hasil hota hai. Yeh Hazrat explained again, that remember, to get this concentration and devotion in the heart, the fear of Allah, you'll have to do the cause of zikr and shagal. That means you'll have to come to the khanqah, take bear to a sheikh, and who your mind, your heart takes to. This person, he's a wali of Allah. He'll guide me to Allah. And come to one person. Because we got wahdati matlab, wahdati maqsad. Our maqsad is Allah. But to reach Allah, we need one person to guide us. Otherwise, there are many mashayikh. All are on the right path. But who my temperament is. Our Dada Shaykh used to say that if you need blood. You're short of blood. Doctor says you must get blood transfusion. So you go hospital and you say, hey, I want Cassius Clay's blood. Muhammad Ali Clay, he was a good boxer. So I want that blood, so I'll become strong. The doctors will tell you, bye, we first have to see your blood group. If his blood group is not like yours, then we'll dig your grave and then give you that blood. So exactly the same. Certain mashayikh, your temperament is not like them. Who you feel, no, my inclination is towards this buzurg, and I can, as you go, in the beginning you'll feel a bit uneasy, but as you come to the majalis regularly, then you'll see I can able to converse with my sheikh. I can talk to my sheikh. So who your heart takes to, stick to that buzurg. And don't have all ill feelings like we just said. Don't think, oh, my sheikh is too proud, or all shaitan will put that thought. You just come regularly to the course, and mostly, ulama have mentioned, at least 40 days stay in the company of the sheikh. 40 days transformation takes place. Allah also Ta'ala explains that how Allah Ta'ala yakhluqukum fi butuni ummahatikum khalqan min ba'di khalqin fi zulmatin salat. We created you, your body in the wombs of your mother. Every 40 days we change your condition. First you were just a droplet of blood or of sperm. 40 days we were developing that. Then it became a clot of blood. So 40 days you stay properly, and even better, you stay longer, 4 months. And then don't think now I stayed 40 days, 4 months, now I am weak sheikh. And also the object and purpose for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Not any ulterior motive that I'll stay here 40 days, 4 months and I'll behave myself. Hazrat will give me khilafat. Now my work is done. Khilafat is not the work. What is the work is my connection with Allah. All the time, even when you get khilafat, you'll be worried. Me, I'm not deserving. But like Hazrat explains, many times a sheikh gives khilafat. One is Allah puts in the heart that this person, now he can do work, he can have majlis also, other people will get inclined towards Islam. And one is a person like myself, so long you're in a khanka and you're still not coming right. Now if you get khilafat, this you'll think, now I'm a khalifa and I'm still not right, what's wrong with me? Now you think that let me come right. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, and actually that is why when a person is given opportunity to give bayan, to make mazakara, is actually for himself. That you telling everybody but you got no tikana, what's wrong with you? So why don't you listen now and put yourself right? So Allah Ta'ala make us understand and realize that we have to do this cause of zikr, struggle. Some people say, hey, this cause is not for us, man. I go out and make fikr of the whole ummah. This Islam is not for me. You don't have Islam in your life, how are you going to make fikr of the ummah? How are you going to, Allahu Akbar, so much so. One time a woman came to Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. She came with a small son and she said, Hazrat, please explain to this boy. In those days it wasn't like sweets like we got like today, they got gore. It was balls of sugar. So the children used to lick it all the time. So she told Imam Sahib, my son, my grandson likes to eat a lot of gore and he eats a lot, so please tell him stop eating. So Imam Sahib told her that come after 3 days, bring him after 3 days. So after 3 days he came back. So Imam Sahib told him, oh my son, don't eat corn, it's not healthy. So she said, Imam Sahib, you could tell him that the first day. Why you told me come after 3 days? He says, no, I also used to eat a lot. So 3 days I stopped. Now the effect, I stopped, now that effect will come in his heart. So that is it, when our Islam is made, and then we tell others, inshallah, then some effect will come. Because now it's not the talk from the mouth, it's the talk from the heart. That connection with Allah, that Allah must be happy. Whether there's one person in the majlis, whether there's 100 people, you're not worried of the crowd. You worried, is Allah happy, what am I saying? That Allah must be happy, and my life must come right. So when that reality comes, then when you do the scores of zikr and shughal, Allahu Akbar, then you'll understand and you'll think that, no, where will I manage to reach this position? But you'll be surprised yourself. Like Hazrat says, that before you left home, you were like a lion in the house. The wife used to say that this man, when he walks in, then everything, they just tremor in the house. And rather he don't come home. So you told him, I'm going khanka for 3 days. She said, no, you can stay whole month. It's okay. What 3 days? But when you did the cause, and we listen to the discourses, we make our zikr properly, just the consciousness, Allah must be happy. Now when you go home, as Allah says, you'll smile and make salam. Assalamu alaikum. She'll say, what? Who came back? Is this my husband or who's this? Which barista came? Now she'll realize, now every year, and now if you come late from masjid, just few minutes, where were you? Why you came late? Otherwise they're not bothered about us. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. When we do this fall, then we'll be surprised. And we won't notice, people will notice, our family will notice, that now this man used to just look around at all his cousins, everything. Now he's not even looking at anybody. His eyes are down also, and like our Hazrat says, that our Dada Sheikh used to say, that we want to reach the high level. I must be a big Sheikh, I must have immediate connection with Allah. But we first have to do the cause, like we have to do our masail, we have to do our tajweed, our proper recitation of Quran Sharif, etc. So he says a Sufi's eyes shouldn't be just by the arsh of Allah. You should keep your eyes down on the earth also. That see, maybe you're talking of big, big stories about Allah's love, but your trouser is gone below your ankles. How are you going to reach Allah Ta'ala? So we have to realize what is deen all about, and this reality has to come into my life, all our lives. And that is why we understand that here the main purpose, ibadat is on its place, you'll get sawab. But if you don't know Allah, Allahu Akbar, Hazrat When Abraul Haq Sahab Rahmatullahi used to give a beautiful example, that one occasion he was there in Umrah, and normally from Asr to till Maghrib, he has his majlis. And we know there Asr is here early, Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif. So that time people think between Asr and Maghrib, I can make 3-4 tawafs. But now this person went, he came to know my Sheikh is also here. And now must I go to my Sheikh's majlis, or must I come here to make tawaf? I've only got 7-8 days, what must I do? So he was in a dilemma, but the right thing to do, go and ask your Sheikh. Don't make your own decision. So he went to the majlis and he explained, Hazrat, I'm only here for 5-6 days, and now majlis, must I go make tawaf or must I come here? So Hazrat says, it seems to me that you want to read lot of Quran Sharif. You like to read Quran Sharif, but your eyes are very weak. You can't see the words also. So must you first go to the optician and get your eyes tested and sorted out, then you read Quran Sharif. Even if you read 3 lines, what reward you'll get. Otherwise you can't see properly, you're reading the whole para, but you're reading all mixed up also. Then he understood, no, I came here to make tawaf, but I don't even know who is Allah. I don't know the owner of the house. So we have to know who's the owner of the house. So Allah Ta'ala make us understand that this is the cause, that we come to learn who Allah Ta'ala is. Otherwise, Hazrat explains here, warna agar namaz, tu agar namazi ke dil mein khush, to warna to agar namazi ke dil mein khushu na ho, aur zahir mein sukoon ho, to hadith paak mein us munafiqana khushu se pana mangta hai. Allahu Akbar. Otherwise, outwardly, if you look like you get a lot of devotion, concentration, keeping your gazes down, everything, looking down and not even looking down, closing your eyes, then that is outward, but inside your heart, not one thought about Allah. You're thinking of everything else. You're thinking of, you are so busy in your computer, and now you are busy on the wrong app, etc. In namaz, you're still busy with it. Thinking of haram thoughts. Then that type of concentration is called a munafiqana, a concentration of hypocrisy. That outwardly you look very pious, but inside, it's all hypocrisy. We're not even thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah save me, all of us. And that type of namaz is, that Hazrat says, as Allah Ta'ala explains here, that in another place in the Qur'an-i Kareem, on one occasion Allah said, believers are successful, but those who got concentration and devotion. And what this means, not outward concentration and devotion, that connection with Allah Ta'ala, for that you do that cause. Otherwise Allah says, aur dusri jagah be khabri se namaz parne walon ke mutalliq irshad hai, فَوَيْلٌ لِّلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَن صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. That destruction, wail means one explanation of wail, the meaning, destruction. A person, and for who? For a person who's reading namaz. Namaz is supposed to take you close to Allah. But Allah is saying destruction for such people. That الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَن صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Who are these people? They come very lazily to namaz. Like Hazrat says, even I'm standing, like I'm standing on the street corner, half bent, and I'm not even seeing whether my feet are straight, etc. Why I'm coming? Just to show the people. People must see, no, I come regular for namaz. I'm sitting in the first surf, but we are worried that people must see. We're not worried Allah Ta'ala must see me. So that type of namaz, that is destruction, and that will bring great harm to you. That will not, won't benefit you in the least, but... So when you do this cause, then forget in namaz, Allahu Akbar. Our Dada Shaykh explained that the mashayikh, those who got the marifat of Allah and the love of Allah, even outside namaz, they are so much engrossed in the thoughts of Allah Ta'ala, that he explained that the wisdom of the dua when you come out of the toilet. When you come out of the toilet, you read Bismillah, Ghufranak. Ghufranak, according to Arabic grammar also, is like, somebody caught you red-handed doing something wrong, and you say, please forgive me. So, Ghufranak means you say, Allah, please forgive me. So, why Allah says, you went toilet, you didn't do something wrong, you had a necessity. So, why are you saying Ghufranak? He says, actually, what it is, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us, that you are so much supposed to be in the thoughts of Allah Ta'ala, that even you want to go toilet, you are supposed to be making zikr of Allah, thinking of Allah. But now Allah has commanded that that's a very dirty place. You don't make zikr of Allah. Don't intentionally think about Allah in the toilet. because it's disrespect. It's a dirty place. How can we think of Allah? You think of Allah in a dirty place, then Allahu Akbar. Like we can understand from this also, that your iman is at stake. Like we see people were overtaken, that World Cup. See, they're reading Quran Sharif. What the play, what? See, they're giving dawah. But that's a dirty place. Because immediately after Quran Sharif was recited, the music started. Full bang. So how can you say that, oh, what they're doing? That is the time to say, Ghufranak, you're not supposed to be there. You're not supposed to be thinking of that. So the pious servants, they say, Allah, please forgive us. We wanted to make your zikr. And it's Allah's command. But still, they don't say that, no, Allah commanded me. They say, Ya Allah, it's my weakness that I have to go toilet. So this is, when you do this course, then you realize that. Otherwise, you'll just be doing things for show. Then forget out of namaz, thinking of Allah. In namaz also, like myself, we are far from thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah make us realize. Lehaza, Hazrat-e Arifin, ne baru namaz parne ka tariqa bhi bayan farmaye. That is why Hazrat says that the Arifin, those who have recognized Allah, why they do they have these itikaf, islahi programs, etc.? Because they have taught their murid what is a namaz of life. What is the namaz that has got life in it? Not just like a dead body. I'm standing in front of Allah, but I got no life. And what is it? And where many kitabs has been written, and this one particular kitab, jin mein ek bahut hi mubarak aur muasif, Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi ki takreer hai, jo arsa hua Anwar-us-Salah ke naam se, tabah hokar, ab nayab ho chuki. He says, and one of those kitabs that has been written, how to gain this concentration and devotion, what namaz is all about, one kitab is this Anwar-us-Salah. Very small kitab, but was written by a bayan given by a great personality who had so much connection with Allah that he gave his life in a part of Allah. Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali. And many other buzrugs explain with regard to what namaz is all about, what is the life of namaz, etc. And in all the mashayikhs, in all their islahi programs, especially in namaz, one very important aspect to bring our namaz in order. Namaz comes in order, our whole deen will come in order. Deen comes in order, our whole dunya will come in order. But we want to put the cart behind the horse. Then, first if my computer come right, then I'll go for namaz. I got late because I was fixing my computer. Your computer will never come right if you first don't come to success. Here is your success. So, isko dekar khud banda ka aur digar ahbab ka takaza hua ki usko dobara tabah kiya jaye. کہ اس مختصر رسالہ کو جس میں بھی پڑھا بے اختیار اش کر اٹھا کہ سبحان اللہ کہے کیا حال ہے. What is the what namaz is all about? Hazrat explains here that when people, this kitab was written in the beginning, the bayan, but then it got it got out of the market. Nobody knew about this. He says, when I saw this kitab, and my friends also, what namaz is all about? We thought namaz is just, it's a duty, it's a responsibility, it's a farz. But when you come to know Allah, and then you'll come, what namaz is a gift, it's not a duty, it's a great opportunity to get close to my Allah Rabbul Izzat. And then a person, they said, this kitab, how we must just think. And then we'll understand what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, that what kya hal hai, what namaz is all about. Qurratu aini fi salah. This is a proverbial statement, that the coolness of my eyes is in namaz. In other words, every enjoyment that I get, that when I stand in salah. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas sahab rahmatullah alayhi, going to Mewat in those days, and not transport like today, buses, trains, everything, and Mawat, a long journey, and he's going to Mewat, and the heat, everything, and when he comes there, they have prepared a nice zinc structure for Hazrat to have rest, etc., but although they thought they did something nice, but it's very hot in there also. In those days, there was no fans in it, so they had a bed also. They said, Hazrat, that now you come, have a rest, you had a long journey. Hazrat said, let me read 2 rakats namaz. And he read such a long 2 rakat namaz that this is what the pious servant, they know the reality. Me, I'm far from this. That does the coolness of my eyes is in salah. That when I stand in front of Allah, then I forget everything else. And then we'll understand the incident in the hadith of the sahabi who just got married. And his friend told him that the dawat by me tonight. Come to me, come for dawat. He said, yes, I'll come, don't worry. But when after he read his Isha namaz, and he started his 2 rakats nafal, then he started enjoying the qiraat so much, before he knew it was Fajr Azan. The friend came next day, he complained, and he went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I invited him, he said, he's coming. Nabi explained to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, oh Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what could I do? When I started namaz, the qiraat was so enjoyable. Like Sahaba said, when they used to read ayats of Jannah and the fruits, they used to think the fruits are in front of us. Because that iman was made. And this is what is mentioned, that they said that Allamna al-Iman, summa ta'allamna al-Quran. We first learned iman. Many people must understand this, that you learn iman by going in the path of Allah and talking about iman. Iman, ma kunta tadrim al-kitab wal al-iman, walakin jalnau nuran nahdi bi iman nasha. Iman is in the heart of Nabi, in the heart of the pious servant. That heart, that iman has to be, that current has to come in your heart. Now you'll understand what is salah. Now you'll able to understand, explain people the importance of deen. Allah give me all of us tawfiq and understanding. Subhanallah. Bihamdulillah. Subhanallah.